Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The devil used to be content lurking around in the shadows, doing his evil deeds in the darkness. But in today's society, he's strutting out and around in broad daylight, tempting people to abandon their faith. A recent study found that nearly one quarter of Americans have switched from one religious tradition or denomination to another. They've switched because they no longer believed that particular denomination's teaching. And 30% of those cited that it was because of the religious teachings about sex and gender issues, or the treatment of those people who lived contrary to God's created order. 30%, that was the reason they switched. In short, we could suspect that they denied the authority of God's holy word. The devil is indeed in the details. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God, the word of our God, will endure forever. Last week in my sermon, I said there are only two spiritual kingdoms in the world. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil, meaning that there are only two types of people in the world. Sons of God, who through faith are members of God's kingdom, and everyone else are sons of disobedience, children of wrath, living out the passions of the world and the flesh. So God sent John the Baptist in the world to prepare the way for Christ. And as John prepared the way, he proclaimed, "I baptize you with water for repentance. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." John was calling people to repentance because our Lord God does not take pleasure in the death of anyone. He doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked, but would rather they turn from their evil ways and live. And we are living in the last days. Scripture teaches us that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. In the last verse of our second reading this morning in Acts, St. Peter proclaims the words uttered by God's prophet Joel, saying, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But what about the sons of obedience and the children of wrath, and all who deny the truth of God's word? And how can they call upon the name of the Lord when they've never heard the good news, gospel of Jesus' love, his forgiveness of sins, and eternal salvation? Dear Christian friends, in these dark and latter days, you and I are to encourage one another and build one another up as we await in preparation for that great and final day. And you and I are to proclaim the excellencies of our Lord God, who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. God has not called everyone to be a preacher and teacher, but he has called all believers to be salt and light in this unsavory and darkened world. And true believers cannot keep quiet about their faith. They share the gospel. They must speak the word, and they must perform the deeds. So are you up for the task? Probably not. Can you accomplish this by your own reason and strength? Of course not. And that's why our Lord God sent the Holy Spirit to fill you, so that he might work through you to achieve his objectives. So in our second reading this morning from Acts, the apostles and other disciples of Jesus were gathering together, celebrating the day of Pentecost. The word Pentecost is derived from the Greek word meaning 50th, 50 days, which back in those Bible days marked the Jewish harvest festival, originally called the Feast of Weeks. And it was celebrated 50 days after Pentecost, or after Passover. And it was one of three Old Testament pilgrimage festivals when all the Jews would travel from faraway countries and gather in Jerusalem and offer up their first fruits offering of their wheat harvest. And the point of the feast was to remind the people that the Lord God always provides. He always does the work. He provides both the laborer and he provides the harvest. And while perhaps the Jews were tempted to only focus on their physical blessings, on Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit to focus us on his desire to save people's souls. An Old Testament festival of harvest, an Old Testament harvest festival of wheat, would become a New Testament festival of God harvesting souls. Just prior to this day of Pentecost, Luke places the number of believers in that area at 120. And as they gathered together, the sound of a mighty rushing wind filled the entire building. The sound was there, but there was no air movement. The Spirit was among them. And as they gathered and they heard this loud roar, the tongues of fire, resembling fire, came and rested upon each one of them. And then each of them began speaking in tongues, in languages they had never spoken before. And within earshot, there's all of these God-fearing Jews in Jerusalem scratching their heads and wondering, how are all of these Galileans speaking in our native language? As good Lutherans often do, we say, what does this mean? Well, it means that Christ Jesus, who 10 days earlier ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, was now with the Father, sending the Holy Spirit, ushering in the New Testament era and outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all people. John the Baptist baptized with water. But Christ Jesus baptizes with the Spirit in the washing of water and the Word for eternal salvation for all who believe. But that same Jesus also baptizes with eternal fire and judgment for all who do not believe, all who shun the Spirit. And this is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In this baptism is the impartation and mystical union of the Holy Spirit and the entire Holy Trinity into the believer. Every time people are converted to faith in Christ, either through the preached word or the waters of holy baptism. Now, before I go any further, I need to ask another question. What does this not mean? Well, some denominations use the Pentecost story as a proof text for something called a fuller baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they say that speaking in tongues is evidence of this fuller baptism. Now, of course, God can do whatever he wants. He's God, and he has the ability to give everyone different gifts. So, of course, if speaking in tongues is something, a gift he wants to give someone, that's his prerogative, if he wills. But these tongues spoken by the disciples on the day of Pentecost were recognizable languages, clearly understood by the hearers. They were not the gibberish tongues of enthusiasts, nor were they secret prayer languages that fellow worshipers did not understand. In our text, the speaking in tongues was not for the benefit of the speaker. The speaker had already received a message. The Holy Spirit filled him with his presence and even more. they were proclaiming the mighty works of God, and they were proclaiming it to others. When Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit, he said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Holy Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." A little later that evening in the same conversation, Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So we look at that day of Pentecost, and it is instructive to notice what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out on God's people. The first thing you notice is nobody was afraid. The presence of the Holy Spirit is evident. There's this sound of a rushing wind, but there is no wind. There are people speaking in tongues. There are tongues of fire appearing on people's heads, and no one's afraid. Secondly, Peter got up to preach. That shouldn't be too surprising because he is the impulsive one, but this same Peter, just 53 days earlier, out of fear for his own life, denied Jesus. He didn't want to risk his life, but now, not by his own bravery, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit giving him the words, he preaches to some of the very same people who demanded that Jesus be crucified. And thirdly, it's interesting that Peter does not preach about the Holy Spirit. He doesn't give you a doctrinal thesis on what the Holy Spirit is and his purpose here and how he's connected with the Father and the Son. No, this Holy Spirit, evidenced by wind, tongues of fire, tongues of speech, Peter says is fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, men and women, young and old, even the lowliest of slaves in society. And this prophecy was fulfilled in two ways. First, it was fulfilled through that visible outpouring of the Holy Spirit on those apostles and the other believers. And it did in that day grant many special gifts in that early life of the church. And then once the Christian church took hold and began to grow, the prophecy was and still is fulfilled every day. But now it's through an invisible outpouring of the Holy Spirit, working through God's word and Christ's holy sacraments. This may sound a little crass, but the Holy Spirit is a little bit like an electrician who's in charge of the lighting on a movie set or on a TV stage or a theater stage. What does the electrician do? Well, he keeps the light focused on the star. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When the Holy Spirit is at work, Jesus is the star of the show. He is your center of focus. He is the object of your faith. Through this invisible outpouring today, believers receive all the gifts that they need to understand the mysteries of God's divine word, all the words and knowledge to explain these mysteries to others who do not believe. Sharing the scripture, each of you according to your station and vocation and calling. That's what it means when God says through his prophet Joel that those who receive the Holy Spirit will be prophesying. Did you know that you are a prophet? You prophesy? Well, it's prophesying in the wide sense. Prophesying in the narrow sense would be Moses and Isaiah, Elijah, the prophet Joel. They spoke those specific words that God gave them to those people in that place. But in the wide sense, God has called all Christians to tell his word, proclaim salvation in Jesus to the whole world. That God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for the forgiveness of sins, to proclaim the truth of God's word. the forgiveness of sins and redeeming love in Christ Jesus. And today the Holy Spirit continues to convert people to faith of all nations, and he continues to preserve that faith in the very same way he did that first century in both Jews and Gentiles, males and females, young and old, even slaves. Before Jesus' ascension, he told his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth." Each one of you here this morning, each Christian around the world, is evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit. Done, worked through the voices of those faithful Christians who were Jesus' witnesses to all nations. Somehow, God's word hit your ears, and the Holy Spirit went inside of you and created faith out of your cold heart. You heard what brought those first few believers together. We'll hear more of it in the second reading next week, as Peter continues to preach of Christ and him crucified, Christ and him risen from the grave, defeating sin, death, and the power of the devil. And that's the reason why you know who Christ Jesus is as your Savior. The Holy Spirit working through the Word, creating faith. God's desire to save all mankind started way back at the beginning of time, and he hasn't stopped. He's still at work, and he will be at work until the last day. The Holy Spirit is continually strengthening your faith through his word and sacraments, through God's authoritative word, so that you are not ashamed of the gospel, but you are bold with the gospel to proclaim salvation, the salvation of God. For in that gospel, there is salvation for everyone who believes. That same Holy Spirit energizes you to be people of Pentecost. You know, Paul says in Corinthians, he says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not us." We have this treasure in jars of clay. It's God's power, not us. You've heard me say before, that treasure, I'm a cracked pot. It's God's power working through the Word. God uses people like you and me, sinful and weak people, to speak the gospel to others. How can you do it? Can you do it perfectly? Well, of course you can't. That's why God sent the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit living within you that creates faith within you so that you share the word so that the Holy Spirit can create faith in stone-cold, unbelieving hearts. He alone empowers you to proclaim his gospel. So when you go home today and look at the news and you see out in the world all the unbelieving people and their decadence and their corruption, remember that you too and I deserve eternal damnation because of our sinfulness. So repent of your sins. Repent and cling to the promises of God that he made you in baptism, that you have died to sin and have become a new creation and have been given new life. Consider yourselves dead to sin, alive to God in Christ. It is he alone who sacrificed himself on the altar of the cross, the perfect once for all time sacrifice to save you from your sin. But he didn't stay there on the cross. He rose from the dead, and by his conquering power over death, he gave you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will accomplish God's will through you, the same way he accomplished his will through those lowly Galileans proclaiming the mighty works of God on Pentecost. And this is the same mission of the church. 2,000 years until God returns, Christ returns. The same mission that the church has to proclaim. And also the other thing that the prophet Joel foresaw that Peter preached about on Pentecost. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. That great and magnificent day is coming, so we proclaim God's word. Jesus is coming back. Our Lord Christ Jesus is coming to judge the living and the dead, separating the wheat from the chaff. Because of Jesus' sacrifice and forgiveness proclaimed at Pentecost and proclaimed to us since Pentecost, we and countless others, we welcome the last day, because in that day we will sing praises of Christ that will never end. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.